Good morning, everyone. And I, too, am delighted that you made the effort to join with us today. We're going to continue on in our little study that we commenced a couple of Sundays ago in Malachi. So in your Bibles, if you'll turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Janice, thank you for singing that song this morning. It has some interesting application for what we are looking at in Malachi. These times were desperate, and we can't even say that the Spirit was willing with those in the time of Malachi. The flesh was indeed weak, but the Spirit seemed to be non-existent. And how that's can be different for each and every one of us today. Another thing I'd like you to do is turn in your songbooks. We were singing this morning. Okay. All right. There we go. 153. You know, sometimes we sing, but do we ever sing really looking at what we're singing? Look at 153. We sang these words, worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. Verse 2, worthy of reverence, worthy of fear. Worthy of love and devotion, worthy of bowing and bending of knees, worthy of all this. And added to these, you are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. The times of which we speak of that we find in Malachi, although Almighty God was worthy, that was the last thing that was occurring. And, you know, we continue on with that in chapter 2. Some pretty hard words that we're going to be looking at this morning. We've already been reminded that Almighty God loved these people. Chapter 1, verse 2, I have loved you. Powerful words. And you know what? Nothing has changed. God loves us today with an unconditional love. Everlasting love. We can always count on God's love. Then the last time that we were together last Sunday evening, we were seeing that the priests were offering substandard worship. They were bored. They were apathetic. They could care less, so it seemed, of what was going on. They were giving blind, lame, and half-dead animal sacrifices. And the contrast to that is we are challenged to give our very best. When we sing, we are to sing unto the Lord. Give Him our very best. When we give our very best. What a great challenge there before us. But Malachi speaks continually here now some hard words, and we pick up the reading in chapter 2 where he says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I give them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but you have shown partiality in the law. And we trust the Lord to add his blessing in the reading of these scriptures this morning. Priests, this is an address now from the prophet Malachi to the priests. It was a term used to identify a certain group of people that we see in the Old Testament. The descendants of Moses' brother Aaron, from the tribe of Levi, they were called Levites, and they served in the tabernacle and later served in the temple. Their primary purpose was to sacrifice animals. They were to serve God. They were to instruct the nation in the laws of Moses. And from time to time, they would adjudicate disputes that rose from the interpretation and the application of the law in specific cases. The priests played a very important role, a critical role, to ensure that the nation of Israel knew the scriptures and that they would worship Almighty God properly. And we have already seen how seriously they departed from the things that they were responsible for. Now, by contrast, in the New Covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest who offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin, fulfilled this very office. And we get that from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, where it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." And then further on in Hebrews, we're taught that the Old Testament priesthood became obsolete because the Lord Jesus Christ became our permanent high priest. And that sacrifices are no longer necessary because Jesus paid the price with his life. Unlike the daily offerings conducted by the priest, first for his own sin and then the sins of the people, the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice was a one-time only sacrifice that was for all men and it was for all time. Now, there's a connection point here. Priests, as used in the Old Testament, described a special group of people. Priests, as used in the New Testament, is a term to describe everyone who has that vital living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know and love him, and you're fulfilling and walking daily with him this morning, you are a priest. And everything that we see here in Malachi points directly back to us. It reflects back to us. And so we have some wonderful teaching, some hard learning, but some wonderful teaching. Priest is a term used in the New Testament to describe every believer. How do we know that? 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that's further underscored by what we read in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. "To him who loved us and washed us from sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen." And so the implication is every believer is a priest. That is, we're set apart to worship. We're set apart for service. We, like the Old Testament priests who were to point people to God, each one of us has a responsibility and we're called to point others to Almighty God. Now here that we find in Malachi, or at least during these times, The priests refused to properly and rightly execute their duties and responsibilities. They offered the blind, the lame, and the half-dead animals. They refused to lead the people to reverence and offer the Lord their very best. Their attitude and behavior was nothing short of an insult to God. And as we think through that, may each of us just reflect on our responsibilities and duties as priests described for us here in the New Testament. How is our walk with the Lord? And I trust that our attitude and behavior is not an insult to Almighty God. But what were some of the contributing factors? We see in verses 2 and 3 that these priests dishonored God's holiness. It was A.W. Tozer who said, "What you think about God is the most important thing about you. What you think about God is the most important thing about you." Boy, those are strong words. The priests no longer honored God. They dishonored his name. They offered these blind, lame, half-dead, half-sick animals as their form of sacrifice and worship. And because they didn't honor him, verse 2 says they didn't listen and they didn't set their heart. Listen carries with it the idea to hear intelligently with implications to obedience. And that phrase, set your heart, refers to an active decision of the will. We understand that to be the command center, if you will, of a person's life. The other thing that we should make notice of here, because we haven't already, is that little phrase, Lord of hosts. You'll find it mentioned 23 times in these four chapters. Says the Lord of hosts. It is a very strong statement. In fact, there's probably no stronger way to express this very strong title, where it means the self-existent one with a host of angelic armies ready to do his bidding. And so Malachi uses this phrase often in these chapters, but it had no effect on the priests. They didn't care. They were bored. They were apathetic. But we also notice that God, in love and in grace, offers everyone, priests and the people, a chance to return. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. It begins with the word if. If they continue in sin, God is going to punish. But if they give glory to God, that is, if they listen and if they set their hearts and honor his name, well, God is going to pour out blessing. You know, that's a fundamental theme of the Old Testament. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Malachi goes on to say that some things are going to happen. Some things are going to happen if they don't take to heart what he is proclaiming in a prophetic way. We would call these judgments. First of all, Malachi says, God is going to send curses. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. That word curse carries with it the title of a rebuke. And we're not talking about wishing ill will on somebody, as we might sometimes think of the word curse. God says he will curse their blessings in verse 3. Ah, these are tough words aimed at the descendants, the children, the grandchildren, and the ones who come after. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants, says the Lord. It's a powerful challenge for us today, for it reminds us that the way we live today will have a profound effect on the descendants of tomorrow. Are you living today with tomorrow in view? We have our little grandson, Jackson, staying with us for a time. And it has caused me to reflect on behaviors because I don't want to perpetuate in that young boy's life things that will come back in a negative sort of way. Are we living today with tomorrow in view? It's that idea of sowing and reaping. We're going to reap tomorrow what we sow today. Powerful, important words for us to remember. So sending curses is something that's going to happen if they don't respond rightly to these words of Malachi. Secondly, rejection, verse 3. And this is very powerful stuff. I'm going to issue now this graphic warning. Graphic language follows. For it says, and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse from your solemn feasts. Now, we all know that one of the duties of the priest was to offer sacrifice. Part of that required slaughtering of animals. And the priest would lay an animal on a table and then commence to slaughter the animal and separate the intestines and the organs, for they were to be thrown away. And no doubt it was a messy thing. But included in this is the dung or the manure. So God, in effect, is saying here, since you priests have not honored my name, you have not honored my holiness, I'm going to take this excrement, the feces, the refuse, from the blind and the lame and the half-dead animals that you're sacrificing to me, and I'm going to smear it on your faces. It's graphic stuff. It's ugly stuff. It's underscored in Nahum, chapter 3, verse 6, where he says, I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. Folks, God is very serious about honoring him. He's very serious about honoring him. And thirdly, if they don't turn things around here, we see in verse 3 that they're going to be removed. Now, the waste from the slaughter was to be thrown over the city walls to be burned or to be eaten by the animals of prey because it was unclean. And now, Malachi is saying, since they had their faces smeared with the dung and the refuse, they were now unclean and unworthy to serve. And so they were carried off. They were removed. They were thrown over the wall to burn. God is very sincere about how we treat his name. People will not prosper long if we rebel, mishandle, mock his name. And we have to understand that he loves us too much to let us live like we do. Some other contributing factors. Not only were they dishonoring God's holiness, the scriptures tell us that they left God's path. We see that in verse 8. You know, if you and I find ourselves getting out of step with God, we've got to get it right. We've got to get back on the right path. Or our effectiveness is essentially over. You know, if leaders get out of step with the company's direction, they're going to be removed so that the company gets set on a right direction. You and I need to do the same thing. If we're out of step with God, we've got to get back in line with his thinking and with his a way that he would have us live to bring honor and glory to him. You know, and if we're on the wrong path, that opens the door to lead others astray. We see that also in verse 8. And by your, or it says, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. Every one of us here in this room has the ability, has the opportunity, has the influence on others. We can influence for good. We can influence for bad. We don't want to be ones that are destructive to others. Look at verse 8. It says, you have corrupted. That is, you have violated the covenant with Levi. You know, God had a special rapport with the priests. And it can be traced all the way back to Levi. God had promised a continuing line of priests through Levi. And the purpose of the covenant that he had with Levi was to produce a love from a heart between God and man. But it was violated. And that word violated means that it was decayed or destroyed or corrupt. And then lastly, another contributing factor to all of this was the fact that the priests were ultimately despised by the people. See that in verse 9. How ironic. How ironic. The priests were offering substandard sacrifices in large part because they didn't want the people to be upset or mad with them. And here we see that the priests valued the opinions of man more than what God expected of them. And this led to a spiritual freefall. And they ended up being rejected by the very people that they were set to serve. Well, perhaps that's enough bad news for this Sunday morning. Let's look at some positive things that can grow from this. What can you and I learn this morning from all of this? What do we need to do? As New Testament priests, what do you and I need to do? What are some of the important truths for us this morning? Well, first of all, I would say obedience to God. We see that in verse 2. We need to be ones who listen and set our hearts for obedience. James chapter 1, verse 22. And you've heard this mentioned oftentimes. But you and I, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Do you let God's word go in one ear and out the other? That's an easy thing to do. Do you and I act on what we hear, what we see from God's word? When we do, that's obedience. This morning we need to be obedient to the word of God. We have a wonderful Old Testament example found in the character of Samuel. Samuel, after hearing the voice of God in the middle of the night on three different occasions, said in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Are we listening to God? The proof of that is whether or not we're living out what we know to be true. Obedience. Secondly, maybe the ones who revere God. In verses 4 and 5, God is longing for his covenant with Levi to continue. A little historical perspective. Levi was the third son born to Leah and Jacob. His name means to adhere or to be joined to. Essentially, Leah was hoping that her husband Jacob would be drawn closer to her. We find that in Genesis 29, verse 34, where it says, Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. It's the universal desire of wives everywhere that their husbands would be drawn to them, that they would be locked in with them. It's an interesting note that we have little information in the pages of Scripture on the actual making of the covenant with Levi. In fact, when we go to investigate, we find that there's not very many complimentary things said about Levi. Genesis chapter 49, Jacob expresses rather harsh words about Levi. And so we might ask the question, what made followers of Levi so special? We get some clues in Exodus and Numbers. Moses and Aaron were descendants of Levi. You'll remember Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments. And he saw the people worshiping the golden calf. And when he came down the base of the mountain, he took the stone tablet and smashed it against the base of the mountain. And then he stood at the entrance of the camp and said in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26, it says, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him. Verse 29 of that same chapter says that Moses declared a blessing on them. The Levites, clean shop, and 3,000 men fell by the sword. You see, they revered God. Do you and I revere God this morning? We can start to understand why it grieved God in the days of Malachi, because the priests just didn't care about God. Malachi chapter 2 verse 5 describes this covenantal relationship and what reverence for God meant. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. And this has direct reference to what Phinehas did as outlined in Numbers chapter 25 when he took a stand against evil. At that time, the scriptures would tell us that the men of Israel were indulging in sexual immorality. They were in deep committed worship of the god Baal. And the scriptures tell us that God's anger burned. And so he told Moses to have those committing the vile acts to be destroyed. And right in the midst of all of this going on, during the midst of this time of cleansing, the scriptures say that Zimri, an Israelite, took a Midianite woman named Cozbi into his tent and there had relations with her. Well, Phinehas saw what was going on. Phinehas was the priest, the Levite. And he took a spear and he drove it into both of them. Well, this stopped the killing that had been going on, but not before 24,000 people had been killed. The scriptures tell us that God was moved by what Phinehas did. And in Numbers it says, he was zealous with my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I will give to him my covenant of peace. And it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. You know what? No compromise with Phinehas. Here was a man of conviction. But we sometimes disobey when we feel like it, don't we? And in a sense, we do it right in the very face of God. You want to see change in your life? Let us be ones who revere God. Revere him as awesome. Purpose to understand who he really is. Thirdly, perhaps you and I need to connect with God. We see that in verse 6. Verse 6 says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. Connected with God. You know, Aaron was characterized by this description. He was one who feared God. He was one who reverenced God. He was one who let God's word penetrate his life. Walking with God was a priority for Aaron. His walk and his talk were in good harmony. And he understood that in order to be effective in the lives of others, he had to spend time with God. Let's take that challenge to make sure that we're connected with God. Another thing that would be a good thing for us to take to heart is to turn others away from sin. We see that also in verse 6. He walked with me in peace and turned many away from iniquity. And so I would take from this that we have a bit of a duty and a responsibility. But it's one of those things that we often dodge and neglect. Going again in the New Testament, James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Is there anyone that you can think of today that is deliberately disobeying God's word? And then another good thing for us to take to heart is that we're to represent God to others. Look at verse 7. It says, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth." A role of the priest was to represent God and reveal God's will to the people. In it is a mandate to remain in his presence, to obey, to revere, and to connect. Another Old Testament excellent model that we have is Ezra. It says in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Yes, he was one who was devoted, who studied, who applied what he learned, and he taught others. And verse 7 says, "And people should seek the law from his mouth." People should want to hear from us. Are you and I making people thirsty for God? Do people seek us out for answers? If we're living our faith and we're model demonstrating the love of God in our lives, people will notice and they'll seek instruction from us. You know, there was a great memory verse that was taught this summer to the young people at Daily Vacation Bible School, 1 Peter 3:15. I heard it many times this past summer. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Well, these are some hard words this morning. Hard words, but there's some encouragement that we can find from the pages of Scripture. The priests during the days of Malachi dishonored God's holiness, brought on curses and rejection and removal. They left God's path. They led others astray. They violated the covenant with Levi and they despised the people. But you and I, as New Testament priests, we have some important duties. Let's make sure that we're obedient to God's word. What can you do this week in obedience to God? We're to revere God. If you haven't already, take the opportunity to read Malachi. It's only 4 chapters long. And you will find some very powerful, important words about revering God. Let's make sure that we're connected with God. The little saying, "Are you growing in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace?" Let's make sure that we have the courage that when we see it happen, that we turn others from sin. Is there someone that you might need to telephone this week? And are you willing to speak to others about God? Great, important, powerful duties that is placed upon us as his priests. Might we sing in closing a song that we find in the book, hymn number 568. 568. And again, as we sing, would you just let the words of this hymn resonate in your hearts? 568. "May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say." I think you'll find just about everything that we have thought through this morning contained in these verses. 568, we'll sing all 6 verses. Thank you.
May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlled, all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I try only through His power. May the peace of God by far rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to come sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus, as the waters fill the sea, Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May for me strong and brave to face the foe, looking only as I onward go. May His beauty rest upon me. Saying only Him.
Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the scriptures this morning with which we can take time to study. And we confess that we may not understand all that we see in this little book of Malachi, but we pray, Father, that as we have opportunity to hear and study, that we would be ones to listen and to set our hearts on things that are near and dear to Your heart. Help us, Father, that we would be obedient to the things that we hear, that we would be ones ready to revere God, that we would be ones that would connect with You. And when we see where we're not connected, take the steps necessary to make a reform in our lives and get in step with You, get in harmony with You. We pray, too, that we would have the courage when we see others in sin to confront them in a loving way and restore them, Father, in a way that would, again, bring honor and glory to You. And that we would have the courage to speak to others about You. Father, we have so much to thank You for, so much to absorb, so much to learn. Help us, Father, to take the time to study Your Word, that we would not be hearers only, but that we would be doers of that which we hear. We're thankful for this day. Thank You for meeting with us. May all that is said and done this day bring honor and glory to You. For we give thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.